The following is a conversation with Dr. Frank Ochberg and Joyce Boas. Dr. Ochberg is a psychiatrist and former associate director of the National Institute of Mental Health. He is one of the team members who wrote the medical definition for post-traumatic stress disorder. Dr. Ochberg was the editor of the first treatment text in America for PTSD and a recipient of a Lifetime Achievement Award from the International Society for Traumatic Stress Studies. Dr. Ochberg is the founder of Gift from Within. Joyce Boas is the executive director. Today's discussion is based on questions Joyce has received from trauma survivors, loved ones, and the Gift from Within community. Please describe post-traumatic stress disorder.
When a person has had a certain kind of life experience, a bad one, often something they didn't expect, and it had such an impact at the time that they felt horrified or terrified or just so stunned that they were helpless, there's a chance that they'll be haunted by this experience, they'll be changed, it'll affect the way they think, feel, interact. And post-traumatic stress disorder means that for at least a month after experiencing something real and devastating, you have three different types of problems. And I'll explain all three. The first is that your memory of that event has a grip on you and it comes back to you when you don't want to experience it. It's not the same thing as dialing up autobiographic memory, choosing to think about something and then having it before you. It's quite the opposite. It can come at you in the middle of the night. It could come at you when you're doing something important. It can distract you. And in the worst of all cases, it's a flashback. And that means you don't really recognize that it's in the past. Your time sense isn't working. So let's call that a traumatic memory rather than a normal autobiographical memory. And technically, it can happen in one of five different ways, and that includes the nightmare, the flashback, the experience that you re-experience, a vivid memory when you don't want it, and it can be just a subtle feeling, the way your heart flutters when you're reminded, and you don't even know that you're being reminded. You think something's wrong with your heart. It's 3 years later, then you realize, oh my goodness, this is the anniversary of the time that my wife was killed. Or it can be psychological rather than physiological. You have a creepy feeling. Your heart doesn't necessarily race, but you don't feel right. And I remember Dan Anderson, who passed away recently, who was shot at close range and who had a very remarkable recovery. He helped a lot of other people. He tried to forget that this happened. And then he'd call me in the summertime and say, I don't feel right. And he wouldn't realize it was the anniversary and I'd have to remind him. And then he could say, okay, that's my PTSD. There's nothing physically wrong with me. And he dealt with it. Well, that's the first element of PTSD, the trauma memory. The second element is almost the opposite. It's as though you have emotional anesthesia. And I don't think it's really that your body is trying to spare you the trauma. It just works this way. And people will describe to me, I know I love my daughter. Doc, I just don't feel it the way I should. Or, now I'm able to go bowling again, but I just don't have the joy when the ball strikes the pins. Something's blunted in my emotion. And along with that is often a conscious changing of behavior to not do things that used to be a source of pleasure and to not see people who you used to be close to. And also to not think about the future in a positive way. So this whole grouping of negative things is called numbing and avoidance. And it means the person isn't a full functioning enjoying an enjoyable human being. That's the second dimension. And the last dimension is as though you have too much adrenaline. You actually don't. If you did blood levels, you wouldn't find that there's a lot more adrenaline in the bloodstream. But your body is, in general, wired the way you would be if you were in a dangerous situation. And for that reason, you don't sleep well. You don't concentrate well. You're irritable. And let me tell you, irritability can be a huge problem in PTSD because you drive away those people who would like to help you. And you can have anger that is very, very intense. And while you're not necessarily paranoid, you're hyper-vigilant. You're on guard for danger. And you're looking around and you're sensing that things are creeping up on you. And if something does creep up on you, like a loud noise or someone coming at you quickly from the side or the rear, oh, you can respond with a great deal of alarm, very jumpy. So that's the syndrome. First, trauma memories. Second, being numb and avoidant. And third, being so aroused that you have this range of problems. And you can see that is not a pleasant syndrome, a pleasant combination to have. We've defined it so that not only do you have to have certain requirements, an event that caused so much distress at the time, three different categories of symptoms, all lasting more than a month, we also have a threshold of disability. I mean, these symptoms have to cause impairment in your life before you call it PTSD. And if you pass the minimal threshold for that, the odds are this PTSD won't last that long. Most cases that get diagnosed improve remarkably. So I do want to give an optimistic overall statement. If you have PTSD, you're going to get better most of the time.
Is post-traumatic stress disorder a constant and chronic disorder?
PTSD is not a constant thing. Maybe some of those feelings of distance from others, the lack of emotion, that's pretty constant. But there are episodes, and one of the most dramatic of the episodes is a flashback where out of the blue, your loved one is right back there again. And it could happen when you say something, so you feel particularly concerned about having triggered it. But I think it's good for you to know that as time goes on, the symptoms do subside. Early on, there may be nightmares. They tend to clear up within a few weeks. If somebody has flashbacks, they tend to have them for a few months, but at less and less frequency, longer intervals. So what you should be prepared for is the episodic nature of this. There'll be flare-ups, and then it gets better, and there's more time between the flare-ups. In general, you reach a calm period and things are okay. Sometime down the road, years and years later, something will come up. There'll be a combination of events. Particularly when we get a lot older, it's as though something happens to our memory system and we may suddenly have a memory from way back. When PTSD reappears, well, let me say, when a symptom of PTSD reappears after it's been quiet for many years, what I usually say, I usually get a phone call and I say, well, remember, PTSD is not trivial. We knew all along it had the potential to come back and haunt you. But this does not mean you're back to square one. The fact that you feel this way again shows us and proves the significance of PTSD. But the fact that you have had years of no symptoms at all mean that you're going to get through this quicker and you're going to be on firm ground again.
Does post-traumatic stress disorder manifest itself physically?
Yes, and we did not know about these physical changes until the diagnosis was on the books for at least a decade. Let me tell you of a couple. In one case, there appears to be an anatomical structure called the hippocampus, which is responsible for managing memory. And there's one on each side of the brain. And the people with PTSD have a smaller hippocampus. Now, most of us believe that the hippocampus was smaller to begin with, rather than it shrinks due to trauma. And there have been some studies of identical twins, some of whom went to combat, developed PTSD, some of whom didn't. And these identical twins have identical sized hippocampi. I think that's the plural. So that implies that having a larger hippocampus may protect you against moving into the trauma memory pattern. Also, if you have a trauma memory and you're having a brain scan while that trauma memory is going on, that brain scan shows the brain in a different pattern than having an autobiographical memory. So let's say there are two people. Both of them have been traumatized in a similar way. One of them has PTSD and the other one doesn't. The one with PTSD, having a trauma memory, would have a brain pattern that's different from the one without PTSD having a memory of the bad event. In a trauma memory, sometimes you don't have words to explain things. The feelings are very intense and they flash and they confuse. Oh, it's like explosions going off in your mind. And you feel that way about what you are re-experiencing. I mean, in fact, you're going right back to the time that it happened. And when it happened, you didn't have words to explain it. You just wanted it to stop. Oh, you were so shocked and stunned. It was the worst news of your life, and you had to take it in and visualize it. Well, if your mind has the PTSD problem, it means you go back there without the modulation, the distance, the security that you have when you can say to yourself, boy, this was bad, but it was 12 years ago. I'm okay now. I'm a survivor. And the brain's pattern of remembering in the trauma mode is different than the brain's pattern of remembering in the distant, digested mode. And that's one of the very interesting discoveries about this particular syndrome.
What types of events cause PTSD? Does it have to happen to you directly?
We went through a lot of debate and discussion about this question. Does the act that causes PTSD have to be something that happened directly to you, or could it be vicarious? Can you get PTSD from watching television? Can you get PTSD from hearing terrible news? And all I'll say about that part, being right there or being once removed or twice removed, that's a matter of debate. I think you can be removed from something awful that happened, like learning that your child has been killed. It becomes PTSD if the child died in an unnatural way. I mean, being killed is unnatural. And that means that your mind takes it in, imagining and feeling the circumstance, the pain, the horror, the terror of it. And at the time that you learned the news, oh, you might have collapsed, you might have screamed, or you might have been just stunned into silence. And you don't get PTSD from experiencing the natural death of another person. You get grief.